How are you doing this morning? Are we good? Hey, you guys can speak back. It's all right. We can have fun. We can loosen up. First of all, I want to welcome everyone who's joining us by Facebook Live. Let's give it up for them. Yeah. And it's good to see all of you guys here. I hope you're doing well. Surprise, surprise, I'm not Pastor Theron, so just let's relax this morning. I'm telling that to myself. So we're just so excited about this series. And I hope you guys are ready to dig in this morning, because I know God's been speaking some things to me this week and the weeks leading up preparing for this. And I'm real excited just to share. So in our Summer at Crosspoint series, we've been talking about faith. So every message has been about faith. And we're going to talk about something a little different than what we've heard. So we are here at week 6. And I don't know about you, but these messages have just been amazing. They've helped me so much, and I hope that they've helped you as well. And if you've missed any of them, they're archived on our website. So go to crosspointworshipcenter.com. You can go to the message area, and everything's archived there. So go listen to some of these messages. I know you'll be encouraged, and you'll just be blessed by what everybody has brought to this. I'm going to be honest. I've got to say this has been one of the toughest messages that I've prepared. I don't know, maybe the Lord was testing my faith this week. But in all seriousness, my prayer is that we will come away with something that we can grab hold of and apply in our walk of faith today. I know God's been teaching me, and I just hope that comes across to you guys, and you can take away something that He's going to speak inside your heart to help you in your journey, in your walk. And with that, I'd like for us to just start in prayer. So Lord, we are just so thankful that God, you have given us an opportunity to be here today. God, I thank you that, Lord, you've given me an opportunity to be a mouthpiece this morning. And Lord, as I just surrender to what you want to speak today, God, I pray that you would use these words, that God, you would change us from the inside, and that, Lord, we would reflect you more and more each and every day. So God, take these words, Lord. I pray that I would decrease, and God, you would increase in this house this morning, and that, Lord, we would walk away changed because we've been in your presence this morning. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. So, as I've been studying and praying and thinking and kind of freaking out this week, I just couldn't help but think about and see a theme in all of these stories of faith, a thread that kind of is woven into every story that we read about in the Bible concerning faith. And that idea is God giving normal people, we're normal, right? Yeah, we're normal, normal people, opportunities to be part of something bigger than themselves. That's the big idea today. We all are presented with opportunities to be a part of something that's bigger than we are. Let that sink in a minute. And guess what every one of those people needed? They needed faith to accomplish those things. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it by ourselves. We have to have faith in God that when He presents that opportunity, we're going to respond and rise to the occasion because of Him. Not ourselves, but because of Him. We have to have faith in God. Now, I hope this will resonate with you guys, but I love the Mission Impossible series, movies, go Tom Cruise. Yeah, I love it. And what is the line that's in every single one of those movies and in that series? If you know it, say it with me. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is, and you fill in the blank. Love that. Well, God presents us with missions or opportunities, I believe, every day. If we're looking for them, are we praying for those opportunities? What is our mission today? Are we going to accept that mission today? But you know what? We have to apply faith in those opportunities. And if I were going to title this message this morning, I would call it crazy faith. Sometimes we need some crazy faith to accomplish what God asks us to do. Even if it's small, sometimes we need crazy faith to accomplish that. And you know what? Some of those opportunities we see in the Bible. There are tons of examples in the Bible that talk about this crazy faith. Just think about Noah. And I'm paraphrasing here, so go with me. Noah is out there. He's building this ginormous boat. And he's warning all of these people, a flood is coming. If you don't get on the boat with me, you're going to die. Now think about that, because if you know the context, these people have never seen rain, much less know what a flood is. So Noah is out there telling them, it's going to rain, you need to get in the boat, and it's going to be a flood, and you're going to die if you don't. That's what he's saying. So can you imagine what's going through Noah's mind? I tend to like to use my sanctified imagination, so I hope that's okay. When I'm reading stories, like, I need to visualize it. What's going on here? So I'm thinking Noah is there, and his thoughts may be going a little something like this. I sure hope it rains, because I'm telling him. You know, what if I did all of this, the boat thing was just because I had bad lamb last night? Yeah. But he didn't do that out loud. He chose to have crazy faith in that moment. And he kept on building, and he kept on preaching and warning the people about what was coming. He chose to have that crazy faith to do what God had called him to do. And in the end, only he, his family, and the animals were saved. Wow. Think about that. Those people were making fun of him. You know, they were mocking him. But he stayed strong, and he exhibited that crazy faith. And you know what? We could look at a number of stories in the Bible that illustrate this point of people saying yes to God and exercising that crazy faith. You know, we could look in our day today, and we could see and hear stories of people who are exercising crazy faith. I mean, I hear stories about missionaries going to a foreign land to reach people groups that they don't even know about that much. Or think about the martyr for the faith. That's some crazy faith right there. To be martyred for your faith. So we can even see those in this day and time, not just the Bible. And all of those are great stories. And guess what? They help build our faith, don't they? We get the privilege of seeing the end of the story. And we know that God took care of them and, you know, showed up in that. But it really turned my attention to what stories could we be hearing about if we didn't let fear and doubt come in and stop us from saying yes to those opportunities where we're presented to exercise crazy faith. You know, I was thinking about just in my life, what opportunities have I missed and I didn't choose to say yes? And what stories could have been told? You know? So it really got me thinking about that. But don't misunderstand me here, because I know none of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. I don't say yes all the time. You know, sometimes we're like Peter. We get our eyes off of Jesus and we start to sink instead of walk. But what if there were things we could do to say yes more often? So look at your neighbor. Say, you're not perfect. Go ahead. Okay. Now look at your other neighbor and say, don't worry, I'm not either. So let's just rest and take a breath here. You know, I don't think it's about being perfect, but I do think it's about getting to the point where we can say yes more than we say no. And friend, that is going to take some crazy faith. So let's look at another story in the Bible, and this is the one that I think we can pull some things out to help us accept this mission of crazy faith. So we're going to read Daniel 3, and this is a lot of scripture. We're going to read the whole chapter, but stick with me because this has some good stuff in it, and you need the context to hear what we're talking about. So it's going to be on the screens for us. So King Nebuchadnezzar had a gold idol made that was 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide. Then he set the idol on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then he called the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, rulers, and all the other officials in his kingdom to come together. He wanted all of them to come to the dedication ceremony for the idol. So all the men came and stood in front of the idol that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the man who makes announcements for the king spoke in a loud voice, "All you people from many nations and language groups, listen to me. This is what you are commanded to do. You must bow down as soon as you hear the sound of all the musical instruments. When you hear the horns, flutes, lyres, sambucas, harps, bagpipes," I didn't know they have bagpipes in Bible times, "and all the other musical instruments, you must worship the gold idol. King Nebuchadnezzar has set this idol up. Whoever does not bow down and worship this gold idol will immediately be thrown into a very hot furnace." So as soon as they heard the sound of the horns, flutes, lyres, sambucas, bagpipes, and all the other musical instruments, they bowed down and worshiped the gold idol. All the peoples, nations, and different language groups there worshiped the gold idol that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then some of the Chaldeans came up to the king and began speaking against the people from Judah. They said, "King, may you live forever. King, you have a command. You said that everyone who hears the sound of the horns, flutes, lyres, sambucas, harps, bagpipes, and all the other musical instruments must bow down and worship the gold idol. And you also said that whoever does not bow down and worship the gold idol will be thrown into a very hot furnace. There are some Judeans who you made important officials in the province of Babylon that ignored your order, King. Their names are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They don't worship your gods, and they didn't bow down to worship the gold idol you set up. Nebuchadnezzar became very angry. He called for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they were brought to him. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you don't worship my gods? Is it true that you didn't bow down and worship the gold idol I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horns, flutes, lyres, sambucas, harps, bagpipes, and all the other musical instruments, you must bow down and worship the gold idol. If you are ready to worship the idol I have made, that is good. But if you don't worship it, you will be thrown very quickly into the hot furnace. Then no god will be able to save you from my power. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to explain these things to you. If you throw us into the hot furnace, the god we serve can save us. And if he wants to, he can save us from your power. But even if God does not save us, we want you to know, King, that we refuse to serve your gods. We will not worship the gold idol you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar became very angry, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he gave an order for the oven to be heated 7 times hotter than it usually was. Then he commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He told the soldiers to throw them into the hot furnace. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were tied up and thrown into the hot furnace. They were wearing their robes, pants, cloth caps, and other clothes. The king was very angry when he gave the command, so the soldiers quickly made the furnace very hot. The fire was so hot that the flames killed the strong soldiers. They were killed when they went close to the fire to throw in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell into the fire. They were tied up very tightly. Then King Nebuchadnezzar jumped to his feet. He was very surprised, and he asked his advisors, "We tied only 3 men. And we threw only 3 men into the fire. Is that right?" His advisors said, "Yes, King." The king said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire. They are not tied up and they are not burned. The 4th man looks like an angel." Then Nebuchadnezzar went to the opening of the hot furnace. He shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out. Servants of the Most High God, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. When they came out, the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They could see that the fire had not burned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their bodies were not burned at all. Their hair was not burned, and their robes were not burned. They didn't even smell as if they had been near a fire. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their God has sent his angel and saved his servants from the fire." These 3 men trusted their God and refused to obey my command. They were willing to die instead of serving or worshiping any other god. So I now make this law. Anyone from my nation or language group who says anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be cut into pieces, and their house will be destroyed until it is a pile of dirt and ashes. no other God can save his people like this. Then the king gave Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego more important jobs in the province of Babylon. So from this story, let's look at some steps that we can take to say yes in faith to the opportunities that the Lord presents to us. So if you're taking notes, you've got blank notes in your worship guide, here's something you can write down. So number one, be prepared. You know, if you look in chapters 1 and 2, we're not going to read those this morning, but if you look back, this is not the first time that these Hebrew children have not compromised for their Lord and their God. This isn't the first time. They've done this before. So they were prepared, even though the culture was trying to sway them in another direction. They were ready. And you know what? I believe that that takes a strong relationship with the Lord. You cannot have a casual relationship that says, oh, okay, well, yeah, I prayed, check, read a verse of the day, yep, check. Yeah, it can't be casual like that. If we're going to say yes to what God wants us to do, it's going to take a relationship that is strong in the Lord. Something that is lasting and will help you to say yes. So we need to be prepared. And that can only happen when we're in the Word of God, when we're praying. You know, even fellowshipping with other believers helps strengthen, you know, that in our heart so that we're ready to say yes. You know, you're not going to just go out, and if you know nothing about an opportunity, you're not going to just say, oh, yeah, let's do that. No. Well, let me look at that. Let me see what that's all about before you say yes, right? You wouldn't take a job just on blindness. They say, hey, we'd like to offer you a job. We're not going to tell you what it is, but here it is if you want it. We're going to say, no, I want to know what I'm going to be doing. So we prepare in every other area of our life. So we need to prepare for the opportunities that God gives us. So I want us to look at John 10:27, because if we are going to be prepared, we have to know God. And this verse says that my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. This is a beautiful picture of the shepherd leading the sheep. We're the sheep. We need to know our shepherd, so that when he speaks, there's no question. Okay, this is God. I believe Noah knew his shepherd, and that's how he could say yes to building an ark when it had never rained. He was prepared. He knew who his shepherd was. The second thing is that we have to do it scared. Take the step. I would not be up here if I did not do it scared. Just being honest. You know, we get nervous. We are scared about things, whether we admit it or not. Deep down, we got the butterflies going on. We're like, oh, is this what I should do? But sometimes we've just got to take the step. It might be scary, but we got to step out. So let's look back at verses 14 through 18. It says, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you don't worship my gods? And is it true that you didn't bow down and worship the gold idol I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horns, flutes, lyres, sambucas, harps, bagpipes, and all the other musical instruments, you must bow down and worship the gold idol. If you are ready to worship the idol I have made, that is good. But if you don't worship it, you will be thrown very quickly into the hot furnace. Then no God will be able to save you from my power. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to explain these things to you. If you throw us into the hot furnace, the God we serve can save us. And if he wants to, he can save us from your power. But even if God does not save us, we want you to know, King, that we refuse to serve your gods. We will not worship the gold idol you have set up. So as we look at that, we have a choice, don't we? These young men, you know, they made the choice not to bow to the idol in their private time, you know? They made that choice not to do that. Then the king brings them before him, and they publicly had to make that choice. That's a little harder, isn't it? When you're in front of everybody, and you've got this opportunity to say, no, I'm going to follow God, the one true God, not these idols. Can you imagine what's going on through their head as well? Like, they're human, just like us. I am sure they just thought, what did I just say? Now I'm going to have to face a furnace. Really? Are you kidding me? But that's the choice they were faced with. But look at that. They had confidence in God, whether he saved them or he didn't save them. Man, to me, that's powerful. Like, if I am standing and I've got to make a choice to lift up the one true living God or be thrown into a fiery furnace, I'm not sure what answer I would give. It might not be what the Hebrew boys chose. It might be, oh, no, yeah, let me bow. Thank you for a second chance, you know. That might be my response because the fire scares me. But you know what? They did it scared. They took that step of faith because they knew that no matter what, their God was going to show up and he was going to do something, whether it was saving them from the fire or saving them after they were in the fire. They had confidence in their God. And that's beautiful. We can have confidence in the God that we serve, and we can respond accordingly. You know, Paul said it beautifully as well. He said, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So do whatever you want, you know? Doesn't matter. I'm good either way. Either I'll be here preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, or I'll be in heaven. No big deal. We can have confidence in God. And you know, right now in this culture, this day and age, we're going to have to stand. And it's going to be tough. And I think there's a day coming that we, as children of God, are going to have to make a choice to stand for him or to bow to the idols of this world. And what are we going to do? Are we ready to do that? To say, yes, I'm going to follow God no matter what. Because this faith, you know what, it cost us something. It's going to cost us. And so we want to be ready to do that. Now, we see a shift. And I don't want you to miss this, because this is good. Let's look at verses 19 through 25. Then Nebuchadnezzar became very angry with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He gave an order for the oven to be heated 7 times hotter than it usually was. Then he commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He told the soldiers to throw them into the hot furnace. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were tied up and thrown into the hot furnace. They were wearing their robes, pants, cloth caps, and other clothes. The king was very angry when he gave the command, so the soldiers quickly made the furnace very hot. The fire was so hot that the flames killed the strong soldiers. They were killed when they went close to the fire to throw in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell into the fire. They were tied up very tightly. Then King Nebuchadnezzar jumped to his feet. he was very surprised, and he asked his advisors, "We tied only 3 men, and we threw only 3 men into the fire. Is that right?" His advisors said, "Yes, king." The king said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire. They are not tied up, and they are not burned. The 4th man looks like an angel." So look at this shift. Up to this point, the Hebrew boys have had to make a decision. They were prepared. You know, it was all them doing this stuff. Now we get to the shift, and Jesus shows up in the fire. Isn't that amazing? Jesus showed up on the scene. So after we accept that mission or that opportunity, Jesus is right there. Jesus shows up on the scene. Now, he's with us all the time. Don't get me wrong. But he gives us a choice. And if we say no, there is nothing he can do about that. But if we say yes, he is right there to take it on. And he takes over in that. You know what? The power of the Holy Spirit enables us to go through the fire unharmed. Isn't that beautiful? We can have that confidence in step 2 to say yes, because we know when we say yes, God's going to show up and he's going to do something amazing. He didn't save those boys from the fire, did he? But he was in the fire with them. So sometimes we're going to have to go through the fire. He's not always going to save us from that. But we can know without a doubt that when we step into that fire, we're going to see a 4th man in there, and Jesus is going to be standing right beside us in that fire. That's where he is. And you know what? I think he's sitting there saying, "Come on, say yes, say yes. I want to show up. I want to show out for these people. Let's get excited because Jesus is going to show up on the scene." And then the other thing I want you to see in this piece, this portion of the scripture, the only thing that was burned off of them were the things binding them in the fire. Nothing else was burnt, not even singed. They didn't even smell like smoke. If you've ever been near a fire, you don't even have to get that close to come away smelling like smoke. But these boys didn't even smell of smoke. But their things that bound them were burnt off. They were free. And you know what? That is a picture to me that when I take that step of faith, he's going to burn off the fear in my life. He's going to burn off the doubt that I have in that moment. And he is going to burn off anything in my life that's not like him. He's going to free me in that moment. You know what? When I step up on the stage, I've got the butterflies going. I'm nervous. But when God takes over, I can feel his presence up here. And I know it's his words that are coming to you, not my words. I can't do anything. But when I step on this stage surrendered to God, Jesus is right here beside me, and he's helping me to speak these words. And it doesn't matter what your fire is that you've got to go into. He's going to burn those things off if we take the step of faith. If we don't take that step, he can't do it. He can't burn it off. So let's be bold and courageous in what we need to do. Because if he asks you to do it, then he's going to give you everything you need to accomplish that. So be bold in that. Know without a doubt that when you're faced with that, he's going to burn off those things that are binding you from doing it in the first place. And you're going to be free to do what God's called you to do. So this switches. This changes. This is God's work. And we can be confident in God's work because it's perfect. My work is not perfect, but his work is perfect. So Jesus shows up on the scene. And then the last thing that I want you to see is that God gets the glory for it. So let's look at verses 26 through 30. Then Nebuchadnezzar went to the opening of the hot furnace. He shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out. Servants of the Most High God, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. When they came out, the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They could see that the fire had not burned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their bodies were not burned at all. Their hair was not burned, and their robes were not burned. They didn't even smell as if they had been near the fire. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their God has sent his angel and saved his servants from the fire. These three men trusted their God and refused to obey my command. They were willing to die instead of serving or worshiping any other God. So now I make this law: anyone from my nation or language group who says anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be cut into pieces, and their house will be destroyed until it is a pile of dirt and ashes. No other God can save his people like this." Then the king gave Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego more important jobs in the province of Babylon. And we see that all of this ends up that it's God who gets the glory for it. You know what? We get to be part of the process. How cool is that? But he gets the glory for it all. And you know what? That's our why. That's why we say yes, so he can get the glory that he is deserved. People will be pointed to God. He's a saving God. And that is beautiful. So that is our why in saying yes, is because God gets all the glory. So I don't believe that this crazy faith is just for doing big things. I believe that we need to exercise crazy faith in everything that we do for the Lord. That could even apply to just simply sharing our faith with somebody. Have you ever come to that opportunity where you're talking with a friend over coffee? That's what I like, coffee, but it can be whatever you like. But you're talking with that friend, and you feel that in the pit of your stomach. Talk to him. Ask him about Jesus. You're like, "No, God. He's going to make fun of me, or they're going to laugh at me, or whatever." And we get scared. And sometimes we say no. And we let that feeling pass. We end our conversation and we go our separate ways. And we never talk to them about God. But what if we did it scared and we walked through that opportunity and we said yes? I believe as soon as we decide in our heart that we're going to step out, God's right there and he's like, "Okay, here's what you say." And you know what? It's all part of being prepared. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a situation where I've come to this conversation, and maybe I memorized this verse as a child, but it is fitting for what this person's going through. I may not have recited the verse for 10 years, who knows? But God is faithful when I say yes to him to bring those things back to my remembrance, and I'll start quoting scripture that I hadn't quoted in years. So don't go into it thinking, "Well, I didn't read 5 books today and I can't, I'm not prepared, not prepared." No, that's an excuse. Because we can. Those things that are hidden inside of us because we've been doing years of, you know, thinking and praying and studying, it's going to come back in that moment. And he's going to help us to share our faith. And you know what? That's a simple example. But it does take crazy faith to have the boldness and the confidence to step out and say, you know what, Lord? They may make fun of me. They may not want to be my friend anymore. But you know what? They're not rejecting me. Unfortunately, they're rejecting him. But I'm going to do what you've called me to do, because obedience is so much better. And you're going to be blessed. And guess what? Whether that person talks to you again or not, that seed was planted. Or maybe somebody else planted the seed and you got to water it today. Or who knows? When you step out in faith, maybe the seed's been planted, it's been watered, and you get to see the harvest. But you'll never know unless you say yes to that. And then he gets the glory, because it's his work. Isn't that beautiful? This journey of faith is beautiful, beautiful. So I want to end today with one of my favorite quotes right now. I actually have this hanging up in my office because I need to refer to it daily. I've also shared it with the Dream Team here at church, but it's been powerful in my life for the last couple of years. And it's a quote from Mark Batterson's book, The Circle Maker. And he says, it's going to be up on the screen, if you aren't willing to put yourself in this is crazy situations, you'll never experience this is awesome moments. So if you're never willing to get out there and do something, you'll never see the awesome things that God can do. You just won't see them. I think it's worth the risk to say, okay, God, this is crazy. I don't even know what you're doing. But yes, I'm going to do it. And then just watch God work. Wow. He's going to blow our mind, isn't he? Take that quote with you. And the next time you're faced with that decision of saying yes or no, say yes, because you're going to see God do something amazing. And you're going to walk away praising God, saying, thank you, Lord, that I got to be part of that. You chose me to share faith with my friend. And now they're going to be in heaven with me forever one day. That's priceless right there, people. There is no money in the world that can buy that when we say yes. So, maybe you're here today and you've never accepted that first mission, that first opportunity in your journey of faith. And that opportunity is to say yes to Jesus yourself, for him to be Lord of your life. And guess what? If that's where you find yourself today, that is great news. Because in a few seconds, we're going to invite you to take that first step and to ask Jesus to come and live inside of here so that you can experience that journey of faith and you can walk along with us. So if everybody would bow their heads, close their eyes. You know what? We're not going to embarrass anybody today. We're not going to ask you to come to the front. But I just want to know who I'm agreeing with in prayer. So if that's you today, just raise your hand. You can put it right back down. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Good job. So now, if you're ready to exercise some crazy faith, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And I'd like everybody to pray it in support of those who need to. Say, Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Lord, we are just so thankful for what you're doing in this place this morning. God, thank you that we can be in your house, that, Lord, we can see you show up and show out, and we can give you the glory for that. God, I thank you for every person who made that decision in their heart today, whether here in this building or online. God, I pray that you bless that decision. That God, as they step out in this journey of faith and they say yes to you, that God, they will walk in your confidence and they would be blessed by this decision. So God, we just give you the glory and the praise for what you've done today. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.